allergies. Let me see if I can get this turned on. That's it right there. All right, good singing all the way around. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Malachi tonight. We're going to be looking there in the book of Malachi. And so if you find a place you're able to stand, we'll begin to look there and read three or four verses to get started. Malachi chapter 4, verse number 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and yea, all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall lead them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed together tonight. We praise you and thank you for the good special music. Now, Lord, I pray that you speak to every heart, right every wrong, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on a day of burning and a day of blessing. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, there's a lot of folks up and down the road of life, and you can tell they don't really have any aim to please God, to get any instruction from God. And it doesn't matter what day it is. If it's Wednesday night, of course, this is not the commanded day, but we're glad to be able to meet on this day. But they're not even meeting on the Lord's name. Let me tell you, if you know somebody that goes to church, they're in church and out of church, more out than they are in, well, you're looking at somebody that's lost, and if they die in that condition, they're going to bust hell wide open. I don't care if it's your mama, your daddy, your aunt, your uncle, grandma, grandpa, whoever that it is that make no mistake about it, there is something radically wrong when a person can't find themselves down at the house of God more than once or twice a year. Here of late, you know, and I've been getting in trouble. Sometimes people get amazed that I'm in trouble over certain books of the Bible or certain topics in the Bible. Well, I've been getting in trouble with it ever since I've been in the ministry. And by the way, let me say to you that, if you will, that God's given me a task, and here's what he said. I'm to give myself wholly to the word of the Lord, study the word of the Lord, have the word of the Lord in my heart, and dispense it or preach it to a congregation. God didn't call me to be a party planner. And if you plan a party, I may go to it. I may get involved in it. But that's not where we're at. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that whenever we invite people to come, and I'm glad for you that are here, that are visiting with us. And but that's not my job, but it is my responsibility as a Christian as much as it is yours. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's going to come a day. I got in trouble here the other day. Remember that? Whenever I mentioned over there in Leviticus 19 about you're not to make any cuttings in your flesh, print any marks upon you, and I was busting that tattoo stone. We lost a few people over that were visiting. I'm sorry about it and all this and that. But I got news for you, honey. The word of the Lord's ever going to be the same. It's not going to change one iota. Now, if you've got a tattoo somewhere, and I don't know about it, I don't want to know about it, don't need to know about it, but let me just say, tell you how this thing works. You can get on your behind, some of you girls, if you wanted to get so glad tattooed on your buttocks. When you get my age, it'll read so sad. See the difference? Won't be no so glad to it. So glad's going to droop, going to be so sad. But that doesn't mean that people have already done what they're doing and didn't know anything about it and all that. But now that you know, it's time to restrain and refrain yourself from that. I've seen an old boy then this past week, and that he had more tattoos than he had places to put them. If he gets another one, he's going to have to carry it under the underside of his eyelid, because everything else was pretty much boxed in. So sad. It may be glad, but it'll be sad. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out he's talking about the coming of the Lord. Do you believe the Lord's going to come again? Well, he is. He sure is. And when he does come again, what you have done with Jesus Christ, his son, in this life is all that's going to matter. If you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you're going to spend eternity in hell without the Lord. If you live for the Lord, in the Lord, trust the Lord, and know him as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, you'll be forever in the presence of the Lord. In this lesson here that we're looking at, do not lose your text, but I want you to look over there in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Now, the Bible said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why we want people to come hear the gospel, is because that God chose it. God chose to save them that will believe it. In fact is, when this Bible here is presented, and not everybody likes the Bible, and not everybody likes all of it. I believe the Bible is the Word of God from cover to cover. And not only that, but I like every bit of it. Sometimes I'm having a shout about it because I'm so glad. Sometimes I'm on my face asking God to forgive me where I've wronged it. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and you can't go wrong with that. But look in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2, verse 15. The Bible said, well, let's back up to verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. You're saved, then you are in Christ, and that's a sweet savor unto God, a sweet odor, a sweet smell, a sweet fragrance, if you please. And he says, in them that are saved, and in them that perish, to the one we're the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? And for we are not as many as corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. And he said, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak we in Christ. Now, here's what the idea is this here. The word of the Lord will save your soul if you're not saved tonight. It'll take the word of God to save you. It'll take the preaching of the word for God to impart to you what your condition is and what he's able to do for you. But make no mistake about it. If you don't want to be saved, you don't want to go that route and that route, then God will use the same word that he would have saved you with. He'll slay you with it now. That's what the idea is about. Now back over there in the book of Malachi, in our text that we've read tonight, you're going to find out that that's what he's talking about. You're going to find there's a day that's coming that's going to burn like an oven. The proud's going to burn up. He's going to burn all of them that do wickedly. They're going to be stubble. And let me say to you, this is the crowd here that no doubt that they spent their life practicing wickedness. And all those that are full of pride, that are proud, is that when he addresses them as what they are, wicked and stubble that's going to be burning up. And by the way, that when they not only live wicked, they practice wickedness all the way around. And I got to tell you, they've defied the true and the living God, and now they're going to be fit for nothing but the burning. If you ignore the Bible, one of these days you'll not escape the burning. That's what God's talking about. I remember whenever I used to go to church, and just because I had to. And I'd sit there. Of course, you know, every time I acted up or done something, I didn't have any cell phone to play any games or any kind of preoccupy my mind. I just had to use the songbook and play like I was reading through it before I'd get thumped on my head. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that I didn't have all the modern distractions that we now have in the world that we're living in. But I got to say to you that, if you will, that while that I was busy ignoring the word of the Lord, I'm glad finally God got a hold of my heart and let me know it ain't your brother, it ain't your sister, it's you, O Lord, that's standing in the need of prayer. I'm glad God finally let me see myself like he saw me. And let me tell you something, this world that we're living in has defied the true and the living God, and now they're about to face the burning. Now, you don't have to believe what God said. I mean, you can go ahead and go your own route and route. You can put off till tomorrow what you should have already done today. But I got to tell you, you boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I've seen people, well, preacher, you know, I plan to do all of that later. Who promised you would live till later? Yesterday is gone forever. Tomorrow may not ever come. God's working in the eternity of right now. And as we begin to look into it, you better not ignore the blessed word of the Lord. If you ignore the Bible, you will not escape the burning, is what he's trying to drive home to you. Now, these that are haters of truth, they're like a big trash pile. He called them stubble. Do you know that sometimes people, they'll drive in and they see all of our houses up and down the road there. And sometimes they'll say, is this a trailer park? No, it's all. These are all my kids and grandkids that are living up and down through here. You're kidding. I said, no. And I'm hoping that they thought, well, maybe we better not try to pull nothing. They probably, somebody will see as many as they've got on here. And every now and again, I'll crack, I'll say, yeah, I mean, they've ain't named it Anderson Trail, but I wanted to call it Trailer Trash Boulevard. Now, see, that would offend a lot of people, but it doesn't bother me none. I got the best pile of trash sitting there. Well, no, actually, I don't. I guess Brother Joe and Miss Laura's got the best one now. That's the newest one and all of that right there. I said all that to be able to say this. It's not where you're living. It's how you're living that's going to get you in trouble. Always, Brother Ron, he's designed a few houses, and let me tell you, they're top-notch. He tries to tell you he's a simple man. I said, yeah. With high-dollar granite tabletops and high-dollar cabinets. And so you see what I'm saying? Well, I'm not against that. I'm for that. And, boy, what a blessing. But it's too late for me to do that now. I could have, if I hadn't spent so much on other things, I could have probably went ahead and bought, well, something nearly that nice. Do they make a mock tabletop that's not really the real thing? Well, I could probably get that, see. I said all that to be able to say this, is that I'm not knocking your house. If it's a good house, great, God bless you for being able to get it. If it's a meager means that you live in, God bless you for living for God, regardless of what your physical status may or may not be. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, these are people that are haters of truth, and he called them trash. That's what stubble is, and that's what he's going to do with them. The Bible said that God's going to leave them neither root nor branch. You know, in this day and hour that we're living in, you know what it's like. There's certain plants that you can chop them down, they'll just come right back. You can mow them, they'll come right back. In fact, sometimes they'll start back up and you can see them before you get away with the mower very far. And all of that right there. Then whenever you do finally kill it, and it don't come back up, then it leaves an awful, hard, nasty remains behind that's rough on your feet if you run out barefooted and run over it. I want to say to you that if you will, please, that God's not going to do the wicked and leave them like that. He said, I'm not going to leave them with one root, not one branch. I'm going to get rid of their entire existence all the way around. Number two tonight, let me say to you in verse number two, but unto you, look at that. Now he's talked about the wicked and he's talked about them being stubble and he's talking about them burning. But now unto you, you that are saved. Hey, that's a brighter note, isn't it? And let me tell you right now is, if you've got the fear of the Lord in your heart, you're living for God, walking with God, and trying to operate in the fear of God. What a great thing. Do you know the fear of God? While you turn to Proverbs in chapter number 1, I believe it is, and I'll give you a moment to find it. But in the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, that the fear of God's a choice. You'll never be able to stand before God if you die without the Lord. You'll spend eternity without the Lord, but you'll not be able to blame God on it. Look in Proverbs 1, look in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know what happens whenever you hear the word of the Lord, you didn't act upon it down the road again. God reminds you about it. And if you're not careful, you'll get to where you're despising wisdom and instruction. Look in Proverbs 1, verse 29. For that day hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, they made the wrong choice in life. Here you are sitting before me tonight. And God's in the saving business. If you're not saved, it's because you've not made the choice to receive him in the free pardon of sin. I remember when God came knocking on my heart's door. I know exactly how you feel about it. I know exactly what you're talking about. Let me say to you the reason why that I don't try to ever help somebody bow their head and repeat a prayer, because if they don't really get saved and they're really not in, it makes them twofold more the child of hell, and it won't be long and they'll fizzle out. I tell you right now, I made a profession of faith whenever I was a young lad. I knew how to be able to read Romans 10, 9 through 13. I knew all about that. I knew about the gospel message of Jesus Christ. I grew up in church. I heard the word of the Lord. I heard some preachers that could absolutely just preach like a house of fire way back then. And I heard some that put you to sleep in a minute. But as I got to getting older, I walked down the aisle and I knew exactly what to say. And I knew exactly and shook the preacher's hand, all that. And I must have been somewhere around, I don't know, 9 or 10, 8 or 9, somewhere along there. Then at the age of 24, the Holy Ghost of God began to get on my heart. And let me tell you right up front, dear friend, I made it a point not to ignore it. And let me tell you right now, I told you I was a good boy. Mama told me I was a good boy. You're looking at somebody who's never been with another woman outside his wife. We went together for 2 years and never had sex out of marriage. Let me tell you right now, after being married all these many years together and all of that, I'm glad that it was that root and rout. It was a little tough while it was all going on, but I'm glad that that's the way that it was and that it is. And let me say to you that, if you will, that whenever you look into the Bible and recognize and know is that God is real, and what God has given us a guide, you can improve upon what God's given. Now, your situation might be different, and that's fine. It's all under the blood. Thank God for salvation, that it's free, that it's for everyone that'll receive it, and for everlasting to those that do. But I got to tell you right now, if you're not saved tonight, it's because the choice you made is not the right choice. And whenever you make the right choice, well, at the age of 24, I knew right then I needed to make the right choice. And let me tell you something. I got saved 1 week, surrendered to preach the next. And the pastor told me, said, "Dennis, didn't you just get saved last week?" I said, "Yes, sir." I think that's probably what's wrong with most churches across the country. The preacher needs saving first before he starts doing some preaching. They didn't appreciate that very much. There was another older man that was in the church, and of course, you know, he wanted to try to correct me and get me all, you know, befuddled and this and that. And just in the providence of God, in the providence of the Lord, I worked with a couple old boys that really knew the Lord. And they said, I asked them a question about, because I was just a new Christian. And they said, "Yeah, well, I'll tell you what you do. You get over there and take the Living Bible. And here's what it says in the Living Bible. Whenever Saul got mad and threw the javelin at David, he escaped out of him, but anyhow, he called David, it was an SOB is what he's called him, son of a perverse woman." But in the Living Bible, you can check it if you've got one of them. I call it the Lying Bible. It's lying to everybody. And, but anyhow, that man, he stood up and said, "Now, we just want to compare some verses of the old King James," and he'd read this one and he'd read that one. And I made sure, I said, "Well, hey, how about reading from the Living Bible, since you've got a stack of them up there?" And he went to reading there, and David escaped from Saul, as he called him, and then he hesitated. He didn't want to have to use the SOB word in the church house. Well, stop defending such a perverted version of the Bible then. I will say to you that, if you will, please, is that a brighter note is, "But unto you that fear God." I just believe God, I'm telling you right now. And it don't make any difference, come hell or high water, by the grace of God, I plan to believe, just believe what God says in the Bible. And let me say to you, we wanted to know, because we've embraced it to be able to know. We believe God, and as a result of that, you ought to take sides with God against yourself and against anybody else that you may know in life. I want to tell you something, is that whenever we got saved by the grace of God, Jesus over 2,000 years ago hung on the cross, bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished. And he paid the sin debt for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Now, if you want to be able to trust him as your Lord and Savior, that's a choice you're going to have to make. God's knocking, you're going to have to let him in. God's tried to get a hold of you about your life and living and so forth and on. You need to get it straightened up. The Bible says that he is the son, as you in of righteousness. The Bible said in Psalm 19 that he's the bridegroom that'll be coming again. The Bible said in John chapter number 1 that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. He's the one that shines in darkness. He's the one that is our witness. You know, the Bible said over there in the book of Genesis, I'll give you a moment to find that. You're going to want to see that, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. There's a passage over there about this light, and you and I know the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world that brings light to us. And let me tell you right now, he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light when he saves us. Yeah, that's the reason why in Romans 1:20 they're without excuse, because the sun comes up, goes back down every day, and they see the sun of righteousness as typified with the sun. In the book of Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 3, listen to the passage there in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3. Listen to what he said. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now, did you ever notice that was before the sun and the moon was ever created? What that is, that's absolute light right there, friend. It's not confined to the sun. It's not confined to the moon. But then God made the greater light and the lesser light to rule over the day and over the night. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting here tonight and you're not saved, you need to respond to that light. And let me tell you what he'll do is he'll save you, set your feet upon the solid rock, Christ Jesus, establish your going, and you'll be able to go for him and with him ever from now on. That's the reason why that over there in the book of John chapter 12, he said, while you have the light, verse 35 through 36, while you have the light, believe the light. You ever talk to somebody about their need for Christ and they stared at you like a calf staring at a new gate? You're thinking to me in your mind, I've never seen a calf stare at a new gate. Well, they sort of all of a sudden, there's a new gate, and they're wondering why it's here and how it got there. And as a result of that, you and I many times, we're wondering what we're doing, what's going on, what's God trying to tell me. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that God is the absolute light to save you from absolute darkness. And make no mistake about it, you better be sure that while you have the light, that you believe in the light, and that you trust him as your Lord and Savior. One last passage, and we're closing in Psalm chapter number 84, and it's about verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You're here tonight, and if you've trusted in the Lord, you're a blessed man. If you've trusted in the Lord, you're a blessed woman. Every man, woman, boy, girl that trusts in the Lord, well, you're a blessed person. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to say that I know him in the free pardon of sin. Maybe while you sat here tonight, maybe while we bow our heads and while we're praying, it may be that God's tugging at your heart. It might be another day that you decide you want to come make it known. But by all means, don't just keep messing around and putting off till tomorrow what God's knocking on your heart about tonight. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Our God, beside thee there is none else. I pray you'd bless every man, woman, and boy, and girl. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Revive the saint, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name.